Like, they're going to do a bonus episodes and stuff?
Yeah, something about, like, what, next year sometime?
Yeah, like, they're going to make the bonus content for the Clone Wars into actual stuff that airs on Disney XD, of course.
Right, and it aired, or we found out from, like, Poland or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, as all good, reliable Star Wars news...
From Jedi News.
it does come from Jedi News, but but I was only ever so slightly more facetiously saying... comes from, well, you know, Poland. Hello, hello, welcome. Come one, come all, welcome to the Star Wars Report Podcast. So glad that you decided to join us. We're in for a really special treat tonight. We've got some great special guests who are going to join me to talk about the more feminine side to the Star Wars fan community. And I'd like to welcome these two fine ladies back to the Star Wars Report Podcast. We'll start with Trisha Barr from Fangirl Cantina.
Yes, how's it going? Thank you. Thank you for having us on. It's really exciting to be back and talking to you.
Now, I want to make absolutely clear, that's your Twitter handle. And like I realized in the middle of my intro, oh crap, I've got to remember several different site names and contacts that all sound really similar, and I'm going to mess it up.
I think if you just type fangirl, you'll find either Teresa or I one way or the other.
Exactly. So. Well, and speaking of which, it's Teresa Delgado from Fangirl Next Door. See, I got it right. Yes.
Woo. Yeah, but I also work for you.
Well, we are but a pale comparison. Pale. We pale in comparison to the great
that.
Publications that are Fangirl Next Door and fangirlblog.com, respectively, for Teresa and Trisha. Two of the, I would say, dominating forces within the fan community that are helping lead this charge of the past, you know, really couple years as the Star Wars fan community has become much more, well, friendly to the ladies. And I'm super glad to see that. And the reason I wanted you guys to be on this week was to talk about, you guys launched a brand new show with the Shot Glass Digital Network, Fangirls Going Rogue. Now tell me all about it.
You want to go
ahead,
first,
Teresa?
You
get to go.
Oh, by the way, the first rule of the show is that they are extremely kind and very, very accommodating to each other.
Oh, well, I'm sure we'll get, you know, deeper into Star Wars and the movies and everything. We'll have some, you know, we debated Boba Fett on our first show. So that's part of the show is we want to, and we were so glad with the feedback, is to show people how you can be fans of something, don't necessarily have to agree on everything, and still realize that you can be friends. And so Teresa and I had done some fangirl chats just on YouTube talking about some moments after Celebration Europe. And we, you know, we gotten along well and been able to talk a lot about a lot of stuff. And then this opportunity presented itself with Rebel Force Radio to do it on a broader level. So we were really excited.
I know, and I'm super excited that you guys are going to fill that gap of what I see as that female voice in the Star Wars podcasting realm. Because as many Star Wars podcasts as there are out there, I personally, and this may be my ignorance, but I doubt it, I know of none that their pure focus is from the fangirl perspective, and I'm so glad that this is finally going to be out there.
Oh, well, thanks. And one of the things we wanted to point out about the show is that it's not a news podcast. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be getting, you know, the same news stuff that you'll hear on a lot of the other shows. We are focusing primarily on having interviews with fangirls and other cool people in the community, debating characters, themes, you know, articles that we find that we think, you know, showcase the fan community. So we're going to talk cosplay and fashion and who knows.
And we're pitching book ideas already.
Yeah, apparently we are.
So that's kind of the theme of the show, kind of trends in the area of discussion, cosplay, like recipes. Are you guys going to delve into like the creative end of things?
We hope to.
I love it. Well, and I'll tell you what, I would love personally to hear, because there are so many great... One thing I really noticed that Bonnie Burton really pioneered when she was with StarWars.com and still does to this day outside of the official realm is how she really, really pushes the hands-on creative aspect of the fan community. And I do kind of get the feeling that that is something that flows more from the fangirl side of the community.
I think it does, but I think the important thing to know is that everyone can do it. And, you know, as much as the show is kind of geared towards fangirls, we've gotten a lot of feedback from fanboys that love the show and love hearing us talk about some of the things we've been talking about. So it definitely is not just for one gender.
Well, and as we all know, Jason and Jimmy do have the honor bestowed upon them by the one and only Ashley Eckstein herself, is that they are honorary fangirls.
This is true.
One of the most beautifully awkward moments I've ever heard on Rebel Force Radio.
That was kind of funny, wasn't it? They were like,
thanks.
Yay.
Well, and I'll tell you what, I was just running through my mind of some of the folks that we've talked to on the Star Wars Report who work with Lucasfilm. And some of the women who are within the company or actresses within the company have been some of the nicest interviews we've ever had. And you guys talked to Catherine Tabor on your first episode?
We did.
Now, okay, this is the point. So where can folks find the episode to hear you guys discuss Boba Fett, pitch book ideas, hear the Catherine Tabor interview? I've gone far too long in the episode without actually telling folks how to get there and how to subscribe.
Well, it's a part of the Rebel Force Radio feed. So if you are subscribed to Rebel Force Radio on iTunes, you will see the show pop up there. And so it's interspersed in their episodes. Our first one came out, I believe it was November 13th. So it'll be there. You just got to look through their episode lineup. And then you can find all of our social networking community. We're really trying to build a fan community. We're on Facebook. It's Fangirls Going Rogue. We're on Twitter. I think it's FG Going Rogue. And then you can email us, and that's fangirlsgoingrogue@gmail.com. Oh, and we're on Tumblr, too. So fangirlsgoingrogue Tumblr.
Are there any ones you aren't on? Google Plus? Do you
Instagram.
Guys have a Google?
Instagram.
There you go.
We're working. Yeah, and also you can go to rebelforceradio.com, and it's up under shows. It'll come up, too.
Yeah, and in fact, I'm looking at Shot Glass Digital right now, and I'm just kind of in awe in the amount of content that you guys have over there now. It's really cool, and a lot of good friends of ours there. So really, there's a ton of stuff at Shot Glass Digital for Star Wars and genre fans in general. But, man, I'll tell you what, guys. Well, we have two options moving forward. Part of me wants to jump into some questions that I jotted down right now and just forget the news, forget the report side of the Star Wars Report, and just ask you guys questions. Or we can jump into some of the news that we teased at the beginning.
Let's do questions.
Well, and I was going to say, and as is now the case, I forgot to mention, my sister Bethany should be here momentarily. She has been very busy this evening, but is doing her darndest to be here on the show. Unfortunately, I had to go ahead and start it because, well, algebra test tomorrow. Hooray.
Algebra. Wow.
Trisha, I don't know how you do it.
You will use it though. I, you know, people go, oh, what do you use algebra for? But you know, I'm an engineer by trade, and you will use it. Even sometimes I've used it at the grocery store.
Oh, but tomorrow's test, it's all logarithms.
When? What do you do at the grocery store?
You know, when you're trying to figure out how much something's going to cost per ounce, and you're trying to figure out what's more economical, and
forgot I don't cook, so I don't worry about any of that.
And I'm going to be wealthy after this test, because now we're doing like the quarterly compounding interest rates versus daily compounding interest rates versus.
Ooh, wow, calculators are good for that stuff.
Oh my goodness, this is not the algebra podcast, but I'll tell you what, I bet with the amount of shows that Shot Glass Digital has, we might just have a new show idea.
We should do a math and science podcast. I'll cover the science part.
There you go. By the way, SpaceX is doing a huge launch tonight, and I missed it. It's going on like right now, but I'm doing the show. Oh well. I will read all about it in the morning. Okay, so questions. I do have some questions for you guys. And the first one is, I've not finished the first episode, but I have started it. I promise. And in fact, one thing that you said, Trisha, that really jumped out to me that kind of lends towards this this new movement is you mentioned very casually a lean-in moment for you. And I thought, what goodness, that sounds kind of interesting. Where have I heard that before? So, of course, I did what any self-respecting young millennial would do, and I went to Google and typed in the phrase lean in. And it is truly representation and of course, book and movement about women in the workplace. And I really like the way you used that phrase, and I felt it really perfectly described a lot of the movement within the female fan community. And I'm curious, do you have either, well, I'll start with you, Trisha, and then we'll jump to Teresa. Do you have a lean in Star Wars fan moment?
I have several. I think lean in is something that being raised in especially my generation, but just young ladies in general too, aren't necessarily accepted behavior to ask for things. It's not necessarily how they approach things. And I watch young men and even older men on Twitter and social media, and they'll ask for things from Star Wars, and they're very vocal about what they want and don't want. And I think that a lot of times when I'm looking, even now, knowing that I'm a lean-in type person, I'm considered that as a blogger, where I say what I want, I say why I think
Luke Skywalker must die.
Yes, Luke Skywalker. That's my most famous lean-in moment, thanks to Rebel Force Radio.
It all comes full circle.
You know, and the point of Luke Skywalker must die, that post wasn't that necessarily that I thought Luke Skywalker needed to die. I thought that they needed to change, this as being the storytelling from Star Wars, needed to change and kind of grow out of relying on Luke Skywalker to tell their stories. And so every day you sort of have to sit there and say, how can I tell you're a consumer, so how can I tell people it's okay if you bought a car and you didn't like it, you wouldn't just drive it around. You would go back and say, I bought the car and the brakes don't work, or the radio doesn't work, or, you know, something's not working for me. Well, entertainment isn't any different, but there's a way to get people to listen to you when you're talking about a car purchase, which is you don't go in screaming and ranting. You have to present it and say, this isn't working. And it's the same way with your entertainment, Star Wars, or anything else that you like. You have to say, this is what I want. And you have to also understand that people saying they don't want something, which is what Teresa and I hope to do with our Boba Fett conversation, is just because you don't necessarily see something from the same angle doesn't mean that you don't like each other or someone doesn't like you. So, you know, especially when you see that with the prequel trilogy era, where people are like, if somebody says something about the prequel trilogy, they take it very personally. And yes, there were people who...
Oh, I do.
Yeah. There were people who were just mean about the prequel trilogy. And at the same time, they aren't necessarily disrespecting you as a person for liking it, because even someone like Simon Pegg, who we know is not fond of the prequel trilogy, he does understand being a fan. So when he dismisses those movies, he's not dismissing other people. And so every day you have to, you know, lean in as a, you know, it's hard. You have to set, you know, this as a podcaster, you have to ask people for interviews, and sometimes you have to persist in that.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, that's the hard part. I'm not used to just saying, oh, I would like to do this, you know, take for opportunities on the Star Wars Insider. The first couple came around because I had done quality work on Subudu. But after that, I had to make my opportunities. I still have to pitch, and I have to keep reminding, you know, I have to go back to Jonathan Wilkins and say, remember this pitch. So it doesn't just happen that these things fall in your lap. You have to ask for them.
That's a really good description. It's interesting, like, when you mentioned that the Luke Skywalker being kind of a defining lean-in type of moment. It's interesting how that article's grown into a life of its own. It's kind of like, there's a fantastic book on the political side, and I'm going to get a little bit nerdy here, you guys. Forgive me. I'm a political science major. But there's a book that recently came out. It's called Game Change 2012. and Double Down is the subtitle, and it's by Mark Halperin and another journalist, and they chronicle the 2012 presidential election. And it's interesting, like Mitt Romney early on in the, I guess it was around 2009, he wrote an op-ed for the New York Times, and it was titled, "Let Detroit Go Bankrupt." Now, of course, New York Times, in its long journalistic tradition, when they have a guest write an opinion piece, they choose the headline themselves. They reserve that right. It has been that way since, you know, since they were around. But it's interesting how that really very much was a defining part of the campaign, in the same way, I would say, how the Luke Skywalker article really began a movement that, you know, now you're doing a show with Rebel Force Radio, which I think is awesome.
Well, and just to give some people some context, because sometimes they might not be familiar with that moment.
True, yeah.
I had written the article. It was expressing my opinion on where I thought the state of the Star Wars expanding universe was, which I just thought they weren't growing. And I saw a lot of female fans, specifically people, you know, from my community who were buying every book, just were not buying any books. And then they just weren't participating. And I felt like... it needed to say something strong, which was, and I felt Luke Skywalker was the crutch. So I made a post, and at the same time going on at the same point was this, the petition for the Clone Wars, where people
that.
Were asking, that's, you had to put context in it. People were asking that George Lucas, you know, just essentially, you know, stop screwing with what they felt was their, you know, their expanding universe with what was going on in the Clone Wars, which is overriding the Mandalorians.
Mm-hmm.
So
little did they know a mere two years later.
Yes. And so I kind of got lumped in when Jason and Jimmy first read the article. You know, they said, well, you know, she's just part of this group that's, you know, asking for these, you know, silly changes in, you know, in their perspective. And I had a choice at that moment to say, well, I'm going to let these guys assume I'm somebody, or I can say, reach out and say, hey, that's not really what I said. And I didn't, I tried to not be defensive. I knew when I wrote what I wrote that it was going to be controversial. That was understood. And within a day or two, Jimmy Mack sends me email and says, hey, do you want to be on our show next week? And we ended up having this great conversation. It's, we can put it in the show notes which episode it is, but talking about really why, you know, Jason, especially from an emotional point, he's like, you can't kill Luke Skywalker. And I'm like, well, I don't really want them to kill Luke Skywalker, although as being a storyteller, I'm not opposed to any character dying. I just want them to consider that there are other characters in Luke Skywalker. And you know, we had at that point, you know, 20 some books in a row that was evolving Luke Skywalker as a character. And so we ended up having this nice conversation in the end. And despite what a lot of people think, they are very well versed in the expanded universe. You know, Jimmy Mack reads a lot of books, and
yeah.
Jason, he knows a lot about the expanded universe, but you know, he tries to pretend like he doesn't. But you can hear him. He's, you know, he talk about this comic and that. But we ended up having this great dialogue, and a couple months later, I ended up getting an email from Eric Shenovice at Del Rey, who's one of their editors. He does the nonfiction stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We ended up having a conversation. So I ended up actually being able to talk directly to the people that are producing the book. So instead of me being a fans being a nameless face, for me, the biggest demographic that's tough are the people that walk away from a story because they aren't complaining, right? They're not saying this story
sure.
really just, you know. So I felt like I was kind of talking for all the people I knew that had never just hadn't said, I'm walking away. They just walked away.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing where it comes down to when you're talking about, oh, hang on just one moment. And okay, and we're back. Had a little bit of brief technical difficulties there, but only because,
all because
we're hooking.
Of me.
That's the voice of the one and only, the unique, the inimitable, the inimitable, the inimitable. As much, I took so much pride in being able to pronounce that word.
Anemone.
Hey, it's Bethany Blanton, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
So we were kind of discussing, as I said, briefly before we resumed recording how Trisha is a kook and crazy and deserves to never, she should, we should never, just proves to show how all these women shouldn't be, no.
I don't think you want to do that when you're surrounded by girls.
I am, yeah. Like, literally and virtually surrounded. Hey, I have four sisters, all of them older than me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. You know then, right?
Yeah, all too well.
And we rock.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
Exactly. And we were talking about the principle, the lean-in principle. Teresa, do you have any moments that jump out to you on your side as far as inside the Star Wars fandom? Because I imagine you can't be a female Star Wars fan who puts herself out there, and you're on Twitter, and you're on have your own blog, and you have your voice being heard, and not have to have those moments where you do have to lean in.
Okay, well, I'm going to sound stupid. Can somebody tell me what that means?
Sure. No, I mean, basically, it's the... Actually, you know what? I think Trisha would be far better. And it's not just you, Teresa. I think it'd be better for the listeners as well to maybe get a little... I wasn't super specific when I introduced the concept.
Well, it's a book written by Sharon Sandberg, I believe that's her name. She's the one of the executives at Facebook. And she writes a book about how women need to really assert themselves and not be afraid. You know, when she got first offered the job at Facebook, she was going to take it. And her, I think it was her brother and her husband both were like, you can't take the first offer. You have to tell them, no, you're worth more than that. You know, these are sort of these life lessons that she's put into a book that, you know, has been a bestseller and out there. It's titled Lean In. And there's been, you know, some debate because some people say that she has a lot of privilege and it's not necessarily, you know, her story isn't necessarily reflective of how everybody can be. But I think the kernel of what she's trying to say is you need to not be afraid to ask for things, to ask for more money, to, you know, in your job, to ask for what you want out of life and kind of reach for the stars. So that's the principle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do that all the time.
See?
Let's see. One of my biggest ones. Well, probably every show of Bookworms that we've ever had an interview, it's because I send the emails out repeatedly going, can I interview you? Can I interview you? Can I interview you? And I get a lot of yeses, so I'm good at it. So I'm the interview person. I think another one would be actually, oddly enough, with you guys at the Star Wars Report, because I kept bugging you.
True enough.
It's true.
In the best of ways, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I
And it
did.
Worked.
Oh, Teresa's actually really good at that. If you watch on Twitter, she's at Ice Cold Penguin. She's good at striking up conversations and then seeing if she can engage, especially VIPs, beyond that in having a conversation about things. The sexualization of Star Wars podcast that we did together mm-hmm. is an example, you know, where she started reaching out to some people and created a opportunity for discussion. So, you know, interviews are hard. Anybody who's doing podcasting or blogging know that you sort of have to make those happen because everybody's getting asked by a million people to do the same thing. And so I always think that Teresa's a great example of how you do it. You know, you don't pester, but she's polite and says, hey, I want to talk to you. And I think it works well.
Aw, thanks. Mm-hmm. I just thought of another one with the vice president of business something from Cardamundi USA, which is the card company that licenses Star Wars cards. Mm-hmm. I pester him all the time for interviews and details about the cards and everything. And then I bugged him enough that I'm going to get some cards.
Yay.
Nicely. Well, and I like that concept, and I like the idea of being more outspoken, because which is by the way, just excerpt out that last 10 seconds of audio, and it would have been something I never thought. I like that idea of being more outspoken in the Star Wars fan community. It's not a problem that you would initially think we have, but I think you guys have proved that, yes, that is something that's the case sometimes. Which brings me to another one of my questions. I'm curious, what is, you mentioned Twitter, what is, and I'll start with you again, Trisha, what's your favorite social network for Star Wars conversation?
Well, you know, it depends on what you're, if you want to have a, I've tried to get into discussions about like Vergeer from the expanded universe, and that doesn't really go well in 140 characters, but generally Twitter is a good way to meet people and to have those kind of micro conversations of I really like something, or here's an article, this is really cool. And I do know that the Disney and Lucasfilm, they monitor that kind of stuff. There are firms that actually monitor fan reaction on Facebook and Twitter to see how they're responding to things.
And Teresa, what's your favorite social network?
For small chat conversations or complaining to American Airlines, it would be Twitter. if it's like a discussion question where I kind of want to banter back and forth, I tend to want to use Facebook. But Facebook doesn't reach as many people, so I always end up on Twitter.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. Twitter seems to be a little bit less, in some respects, seems to be less conversational than it used to be. You know, now it's a little bit more like it's the information network more than the social network.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate. It's a lot of, and I'm guilty of this with the Star Wars Report, but the Star Wars Report account, like we just tweet out news. And it's very popular, and I do enjoy interacting, but I just tried like an experiment before the show tonight, and I just said, is Star Wars on your mind? That's just a simple question. And I posted it to Facebook and Twitter, and I'll have to check in at the end of the show, but they were both getting pretty even responses, but it's just folks just starting a random conversation in the comments and on Twitter, and I loved that. And that's what I really like about the Star Wars community, is being a little bit more social.
Although yeah, I've done the same thing on the Jedi News Facebook page, posting little small questions and stuff, and you get a lot of a response on Facebook with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and Facebook's weird with the algorithm. It's like last week, suddenly everyone's old posts started floating to the top. You guys noticed that?
Yes, I did. I was like, what is this?
It's Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Well, and so let me jump to Bethany. What's your favorite social network, Star Wars-wise?
For Star Wars, I would really have to say it's Twitter. Now, I have neglected Twitter for a while now due to time and some other reasons, but there really seems to be a very active, engaging, and for the most part positive community of Star Wars fans on Twitter. You'll notice I did throw in "for the most part," but it's
like, I know it's amazing the conversations, because like in the Facebook chat today when I said, "So Star Wars on your mind?" And one guy's like, "Not really anymore. I kind of lost my faith in Star Wars." I was like, "Whoa."
And didn't someone say something about Christmas Doctor Who or something? I was watching it while I was eating dinner.
I think so. It's just I entirely unprompted, but that's the beauty of social media. Exactly. Okay. Well, I digress. Okay. Question numero tres, and not the Cara Thrace, the Hispanic Thrace. Okay.
How about tres. There we go.
All right, most underrated female character, Teresa, go.
Oh, man.
I love that
reaction. This is quickly like turning into like the first cycle.
Like underrated? Okay, well, the first one that, if we're going like first thing that pops in your head, it's Aayla Secura. Just because, like, she gets a lot in the comic books and everything, but if I'm just looking at the Clone Wars cartoon, she's in like three episodes. Where yes. She has an actual real solid role, you know, as opposed to just like a side character that walks by.
She wasn't any kind of Quinlan Voss, I'll tell you that. Trisha, most underrated female character in Star Wars.
I know
what you're gonna say.
Go ahead and tell me what I'm going to say.
Handmaidens.
There's a lot of underrated female characters that people, that the I think that the fans have a lot more faith in the characters, especially if you dive into fan fiction and into socializing. You know, there are message forums that you can, boards and places, and you have to find those, the ones you're comfortable in. But where people have conversations, they're telling their own stories about a lot of female characters. The Handmaidens in the prequel trilogy time, when those movies were coming out, had tons of stories about them. And people really wanted to know more about them. So sure, that's definitely one of the underrated. I'd say that the powers that be underrated Jaina, and she should have had a series of her own 5 or 6 years ago. She should have been headlining a series and not. So for mainline characters, her.
Ah, you stole mine.
Sorry. You can agree.
It's the bitter part about going last, Bethany.
You have to cut Trisha off, because otherwise she'll just keep talking and then she says all of your ideas.
It's like you've had some kind of experience with this, Teresa.
It's true.
Oh, goodness. I would definitely have to agree with Trisha about Jaina, because while she is an important character that shows up in a number of books, to me, she always seems to be fulfilling whatever role that they need her to be in those books, whether it's significant other or daughter or rebellious daughter, or, you know, we need her to be a fighter in this book, or we need her to start trying to be more diplomatic in this other book. It really seems that Jaina is a very handy character to fill whatever hole you need filled in a novel. So I feel like she doesn't really have a complete identity that is her own.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, okay, and thus concludes the Q&A segment of the podcast. And you know what, folks? I think it's high time, that we jump into a little bit of news. You know what? That's a little jingle I found that really does sound kind of like the cantina themes from the old from the Knights of the Old Republic games. Kind of groove out a little bit. Something like a cross between that and the Disney Jungle Book soundtrack. We do have news, folks. R2-D2 is going to be in Star Wars Episode 7. And he's fan-made.
That's awesome. I love it.
This is a great story. Okay, so basically, last week we didn't even get a chance to talk about it, because at that point it was just a photo posted by the good folks over at Bad Wobot. Which, by the way, I love that. I really hope that that's in the Star Wars movie. Only instead with R2-D2 instead.
Someone just calls him a bad robot.
Very, very bad. So basically, meet Lee Towsery and Oliver Steeples. And these are Star Wars fans and members of the R2 Builders Club. And basically, Kathleen Kennedy was like, huh, that's a pretty cool R2-D2 you got there. Talk to you guys soon. Speaking of lean in, let me read this quote. It all started, this is from Steeples. It all started when Kathleen Kennedy toured the R2-D2 Builders area at Celebration Europe this past summer in Germany, who finished his R2 unit after 10 years of parts and researching. He said, quote, she posed for pictures with us, looked at all the droids we built, and was very complimentary, I'll say. I mentioned that the R2 builders in the UK were available, if required, as a semi-joke. And the rest was history. They are now part of the creature effects team for Star Wars Episode 7. So I guess that's technically our first cast. We've been waiting for casting news. Confirmed. R2-D2 is in Episode 7.
Well, I, for one, am glad, because R2 is a classic character. He is iconic to Star Wars. And so, color me glad.
Very first casting announcement for...
8-9.
7-8-9. All right. And I'll tell you what, guys. So, what did you guys think of this news when it first broke?
I thought it was cool.
I'll tell you what. I thought it was more than cool. And I guess I never doubted that R2-D2 would indeed be in Star Wars Episode 7, but, you know, it's nice to get actual official confirmation. And this isn't something that would ever happen, I don't think, in the days of the prequels or the obviously the original trilogy, but the fact that they're reaching out to fans and bringing them on board the actual team for Star Wars Episode 7, I think bodes very well for the film.
Well, and we talked about this on our first episode of Fangirls Going Rogue, was the fan engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting fans involved in the process. And I mean, when this news like dropped what a few days later, and I was like, wow, this is so awesome.
Exactly.
And, you know, they don't have to go and have people figure out how to do, you know, a robot. These guys have already, you know, out of pure love, figured out the nuts and bolts of R2-D2. And now they're going to just make it better. And it's going to be their job. And who better to do it than somebody who's, they're so enamored by the character, they would build one.
Exactly. Well said, and the perfect choice for it, if you ask me. All right, Electronic Arts and Disney's Star Wars deal is going to be a decade-long dynasty. This is from, by the way, the best gaming site that I ever, title that I've ever seen come across my my feedly, and that is Headbang and Button Mash. Best video game site name ever. Well, basically, despite the, and this is from, straight from the article, despite the early scare in which Disney, having freshly plucked the rights from the multi-million dollar franchise from Lucasfilm,
plucked
from the very hearts of the franchise, plucked from the souls of the depressed Star Wars fans, plucked from the tree of life that is the fan community, plucked, I say, from, I don't know if I can get a little bit more.
Tree of life.
See, this is why I haven't come on the podcast as much recently, because I say these things and then Riley starts saying those things.
Plucked the rights as if they were a bird of prey, as if this
well, if it was a bird of prey, never mind, I'm just time to stop.
You're saying I've gone far enough, I guess, Teresa, is what you're saying. This is like a subtle hint, I guess. Just
continue. Okay.
I don't, sometimes, this, my favorite part about doing the news is sometimes the way people word it. All right, so basically, Disney had stated early intention, this is Bob Iger on the initial, stock shareholders call, when he said that they had intentions to move away from big budget console titles and move in favor of the mobile market. Because, you know, Angry Birds Star Wars has probably made 3 times the amount of money as any of the Force Unleashed games, sadly. Quite depressingly. But EA has reinstilled our faith in the Force at E3 when they announced the bringing of the Battlefront series under DICE's tutelage. All that's the summary so far for folks who haven't followed it. But there's basically a new quote from the chief financial officer over at EA, Jorgensen, and he said, quote, "The beauty of the Star Wars franchise is that it's so broad and so deep, you don't have to do a movie game." Now, that's the quote I pulled when I actually finally dug down to the source, because it's weird how some Star Wars news stories just flood, and I mean like flood, into my feedly, because I have a basically Google News alert on Star Wars, and I funnel that straight into my feedly, which is where I get all of my news. Mm-hmm. And in my Star Wars folder, on occasions, there'll be, you know, 10 articles in one day, 12 articles another, and there'll be 50 articles, and they're all usually gaming or all usually casting rumors. And it's just like, everyone and their mother needs to know that Ryan Gosling will be Luke Skywalker's son. And Trisha wants him to die. Anyway. But exactly, I mean, and this is one of those stories that really just like, on the 10-year deal, but also that EA will not make any Star Wars movie games. Which, by the way, he didn't say at all. He just said, quote, "You don't have to do a movie game." So I guess
you think it was just kind of blown out of proportion a little?
I guess you could say. Not unlike how I began the read of the story, I say that's the reaction of the gaming community within Star Wars. But it's something that I'm not, wouldn't be surprised if they don't have a movie game, but I would be shocked if they didn't give a movie game, if you know what I mean. It's kind of twofold, because it's way too ready cash that's available, and that's one reason why they do them. Although I'm not sure, it'd be interesting. I don't know if Marvel does movie games or if they don't. I don't think they do. That'd be an interesting bit of research. You guys can shoot us an email, starwarsreport@gmail.com, if you have any theories on the topic. Are you guys much of a gamer, Teresa or Trisha?
I do. I think I play more games than Trisha does, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, my understanding is that movie games don't necessarily do as well as games where you can sort of have your own adventure. And really, there's always the problem of getting too much of the movie content getting out if they're building a game. So
yeah,
that's hard to control that. And I just think that, you know, we get in, there's so... That's the thing about Star Wars. It's so vast that you can literally let these guys can pick an area and go into it, and they wouldn't touch the movies. They'd be really free to do something, as opposed to saying, well, we want to do this. And then they have to wait and go, okay, can we do that? You know, story group, is it okay? So creatively, I think it would be much easier to create a game quickly without tying into a movie.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that they're working on other titles besides Battlefront, but they're not coming to my mind immediately. But it's interesting. The Iron Man 3 had an official game, and it was an iPhone app. So that kind of that lends to their original thing. It was not a console, although Iron Man 2 did have a console game, but I don't think it did very well. All right, now this is what I really wanted to talk about. All the stuff before... Yes, it's important. Yes, we're interested. Yes, you know, there'll be a lot of Star Wars games. Now this is the dirt on the Clone Wars. This is an article straight from
dirt. We're getting down and gritty here in the Star Wars Report.
And quite appropriately, this article comes from StarWarsUnderworld.com. I don't think Bethany even knew that.
I did not.
But so basically, here's the lowdown. They're organizers of an event in Poland, the Star Wars artistic team, SWAT.
Cool.
By the way, best... Okay. The only thing that would have been made it better, it would be S.H.I.E.L.D., if they somehow figured out how to spell their name, S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, so along with the Disney representative, they screened episodes from Season 5 of The Clone Wars, but most importantly, showed a trailer for the 6th season. I read this and I was like, no way. There is not a trailer for a 6th season of The Clone Wars. I mean, the bonus content in my mind is like maybe three-episode arcs tops. Maybe two three-episode arcs from what we've heard. We had the Yoda arc, the Order 66 stuff. And I'm trying to think of what else. Well, there's that Plo Koon clip from IGN of him making a discovery of that shuttle that had wrecked. And then there's the leaked image clip, I think from Star Wars Weekends, where it's Yoda going on an adventure... And he enlists the help of Anakin Skywalker. You guys see this where he enlists the help of Anakin Skywalker to defy the Council?
I saw it when it aired at Star Wars Weekends. So I remember posting about it and having everybody go, "What?"
And I'm trying to remember exactly how the clip went. What was the? Do you remember very well what they were setting up? What Yoda was up to?
They don't reveal that. They just reveal that he's sick. He's kind of like in the infirmary or whatever, and he's not supposed to be leaving. But he gets Anakin to come in, and Anakin says, well, I don't know if we should be doing this or if I should help you. And he makes some kind of little snappy comment about, but isn't this the kind of stuff that you're good at?
Exactly.
You know?
If I remember right, it's like, yes, defying the will of the Council, your expertise, that is.
Yeah. And so he ends up helping him, but they don't explain ever what Yoda is up to, and they just leave you hanging.
Well, hopefully we won't be left hanging for too much longer, because this is from... And then they did a transcript from the Polish fan site with Google Translate, which is horribly unreliable, as my Spanish teacher will tell me. there's a poster on the Force.net forums, on the Jedi Council forums, that was an attendee. So when I read that, I'm like, okay, this seems reasonably legit. So I'm just going to run through some of the highlights, and then we'll have to wrap this episode up after that. But, so basically, here's some highlights. First of all, they revealed that the season will be titled, quote, The Lost Missions, and will consist of 10 episodes, and they'll air it on Disney XD. This is according to the Jedi Council forum post. And they'll be airing on Disney XD, at least in Poland. And they posted the translation, and then here's the actual post. There was a dark and swampy planet. Yoda was landing there, and he can hear Qui-Gon's voice saying, go to Dagobah. You will find your answers there. Yoda was walking along an orange rocky planet. My guess that it was Korriban, and then he fought a mysterious cloaked character equipped with a red lightsaber.
Interesting.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to jump through some of these and we'll discuss them all towards the end. There's another scene where Yoda's approached by a floating thing that resembles a Balrog. Shall not pass you!
Oh, goodness.
Of course, Oparan Sissies makes an appearance, which I remember rumors of him being in the Clone Wars going way back. A lot of Jedi ghosts fighting. Padme was on the Munns, was at the Munns court, and one of them said, "You're under arrest! Citizens arrest!" I think that's exactly how they said it. Sidious was contacting... Okay, here's one of my favorite ones. Sidious was contacting Lama Su via hologram and saying, "They can never learn the truth about Order 66. That's a paraphrase, but that's the Order 66 arc they're talking. Mother Talzin fighting, another Dooku, Anakin, Obi-Wan fight, some new droids, Mace was fighting some of them, and of course, there's a holocomputer screen displaying the image of a man, which very closely resembled Sifo Dyas from the Eyes of Revolution, which I can't for the life of me remember where, but I want to say I heard somewhere in like my browsing of fan sites over the last year where they talked about one of these, the Order 66 arc would touch on Sifo Dyas.
Now I can't remember because you've said it both ways.
It's Sifo Dyas.
Okay. I'm right. That seems familiar too, but I have always been interested to learn more.
Like ever since that Saturday Night Live Natalie Portman clip from the Attack of the Clones days. You guys have seen that, I hope.
Yeah.
I wish I had that within grasp and I would play it. And it also goes like Brent Friedman was on Pete Morrison's podcast over at Lightsaber Rattling, and he said that they'd completed writing season 6 and 7, including a series finale arc. And went on to say that there were enough episodes written that the show could have also included an 8th season. And it also, by the way, this is the best part of that interview, is where Brent actually hinted that the season 7 finale arc was hotly debated in the writer's room. And just how was the series going to end is a question the fans may never get the answer to. You know, this is kind of like pouring salt in the freshly reopened wound.
Well, seriously, it is. And, you know, I was such a fan of the Clone Wars. I want to see all of this stuff. And just give me more Clone Wars.
Exactly.
I want the end, the real end.
When Clone Wars watched in 2008, fall 2008, I still remember we lived in Tennessee at the time in a college town near Bryan College in Dayton, Tennessee, and I still remember somehow, and how old would I have been, 2008?
17.
Yeah, I want to say I was 16, maybe 17, and at the time, I didn't have a driver's license yet. So, I mean, I somehow cajoled my mother into driving me, and then Beth came along.
I remember that.
To Bryan College, where there were, because our sister was a student there at the time, our older sister. And they had a game room there where they had a big television. And we didn't have cable at the house, so this is the only way to watch it. And at the time, I didn't know that they were going to post them on StarWars.com. And in that first season, they waited a week to do it. So I still remember going over and seeing that very first Yoda episode and just being totally blown away. Mm-hmm. Just totally blown away. Like when the Yoda theme came on. And that was my introduction to the Clone Wars. I was hardcore about it. I wanted to hear it, mainly because I knew that there was going to be what was then at the time Force Cast Roundtable within a few matter of days, and I needed to have seen the episode.
Rookies, of course, is still one of my favorite episodes ever.
Oh,
it was such a good episode.
Season 1.
And what's funny is we know the title of it. That's how good it was.
Well, I know. I mean, I'm trying to remember, like, we don't remember season 4, episode 7. Okay, so now I've got to see which one that is. I bet it. I bet, for all, like, for my luck, that'll be like one of the Krell arc episodes.
That's gonna be the Snapple tea episode.
Oh, good. I struck gold then. But I guess, I mean, the Clone Wars.
Joking. I don't know what it is.
Okay, well, we'll just run with that. I'll tell you what, though, Clone Wars for me, it is kind of open. I don't even really know what to say. This is all super exciting stuff, but it's different now because this is exactly the kind of thing that I would pore over going the summer before the new Clone Wars season, finding these hints about the new season, analyzing the trailers, and I it strikes me that I miss those days. And mm-hmm. As much as I like the Episode 7 news pouring in, until we start getting reports about the plot and casting announcements and we get towards that time of
hey
a teaser trailer.
Don't ditch on R2.
I mean, we all knew R2 was going to be in it, though.
Hey, Riley.
Heck, he wasn't even in Star Trek.
That episode is Darkness on Umbara. It's one of the Jedi Pong Krell episodes.
See, that's how big of a Clone Wars fan. I guessed the arc that it was going to land on. Sorry, that I love those episodes.
I'm sitting here. He didn't Google that.
Yeah, exactly. And Bethany can verify that. Look at that. And I'll tell you what, it's just one of those things where that I miss those days. But I think we're quickly coming to that period in Rebels. I think especially after the new year, we'll start hearing more about Star Wars Rebels. I mean, we got more than I thought we would at New York Comic Con with the reveal of the Sith Inquisition. As I'm calling
you know him. What? I'm guaranteeing you that you want to come to Star Wars weekends because it's going to be all Rebels. And guess what? Trisha and I will be there.
Oh.
When is this again?
So this starts in May, right?
Yeah. They haven't announced the dates for this year yet, have they, Trisha?
Not that I've been checking. Not yet. I haven't seen because I want to bring my nephews. I'm all ready.
We're going to all four of them. You know that, right?
No, all four?
Wow.
Okay.
Well, I'm telling Trisha we're going to all four.
You're telling her now.
We both live an hour away.
The Memorial Day weekend, it's usually the second weekend, is the one that I went the one time. I was like, wow, it's crowded. But all the others, I definitely will be there.
I'm really tempted now because there's no celebration and Dragon Con's not all the way until Labor Day weekend. So I'll tell you what, I think that might have to be a gathering for the next Star Wars board gathering. We'll just crash the Fangirls Going Rogue party. Hope you don't mind.
Nah, you can come.
Okay.
Bethany's a fangirl.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just be the odd man out, quite literally.
No, you can be an honorary fangirl, Riley.
I mean, doesn't that take Ashley's blessing, or is that a thing?
I think we can do that too, right?
Like, can you be disciples of Eckstein and bestow upon other random males?
It's going to be like Dave Filoni's Wolf Pack, except Ashley's giving out.
That's great.
By the way,
maybe it's Ashley's cup.
I do know this.
Because Ashley has always said how Dave is like her her guide and her Jedi master.
Well,
so it's
fair enough.
Ashley's cup pack.
Can be the cup pack.
I'll tell you what. I have a greater chance of becoming an honorary fangirl than I ever have of becoming a member of the Wolfpack, I'll tell you that. That does it for this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. Ladies, you've done it. You've somehow made this episode go almost an hour. It's been the first time in weeks we've been able to do it. And I'll tell you what, it felt good. It felt good to have a longer episode. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have to run through the contact information, and quite appropriately, Skype just dropped. How do you like that, Bethany? At least you're here. At least you're here to help me with the closing.
Yes.
Here to tell me, you guys with us again?
Yeah, my bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm telling you. Like, if Skype was going to crap out, at least it waited till the end of the episode. I'll tell you what. All right, so if you want to contact us, you can email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. That's the place. That's where you want to go. Our home for all things Star Wars Report, the entire network of podcasts. Everything you'd ever want to know is found at starwarsreport.com/about-us. Find us on Facebook. It's Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport. You guys know where to find us. We talk about all kinds of fun stuff, posting up the news and rumors about everything Star Wars. and having a great time doing so. We appreciate you listening to this particular podcast episode, and if you've gotten any entertainment, joy, sadness, depression, or cathartic release from listening to this episode of the Star Wars Report, we ask you that you kindly leave us an iTunes review, and that can be easily done by going to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes and leave us a rating and or review. We appreciate it. We ain't got no rules about them. I'll tell you what, that you can do whatever you want in the old iTunes store as long as you click one of those star buttons. We don't care which one. We appreciate you listening, and Trish, would you mind giving the folks once again where they can find you guys at Fangirls Gone Rogue?
Yes, it's you can find the show on RebelForceRadio.com or on iTunes under the Rebel Force Radio feed. And we're on Twitter at FG Going Rogue. And I am at Fangirl Cantina. And I'm at fangirlblog.com for my website. And Teresa?
I'm at Ice Cold Penguin on Twitter. And you can find me writing for Jedi News, Star Wars Report, and fangirlnextdoor.com.
Awesome. Thanks, you guys, for coming on. And that puts the can, that puts the lid on this here episode. We do ask you that you, and remind you, the sacrifice made by many Bothans who did indeed die a terrible, violent death to bring you this podcast. Whistler. It's kind of depressing. Like, I don't want to stop the recording.
Aww. I don't know how to make Whistler noises.
I don't know, but if he were here, he would make that sad R2 sound.
I know.
You know that? The C-3PO just left me R2 sound. I can't do it.